Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Locals is. I know a couple of people that watch it, and I think you have to pay for it, but I have no idea.
Is it like the some sort of love child of Rumble? I don't actually know. It's been talked about. I forgot, to be honest with you. Welcome to Two Live Jew with Anna and Seth. A lot to cover, a lot to discuss. The contents of the main show, some updates in my personal life. Do you like my shirt?
Who? Oh, is that? I didn't
know. One person commented and tweeted about it, which I very much appreciate. I can't remember who it was, but...
I think staring at your shirt would mean I'd be staring at your chest.
Right.
Which is something that I don't think I do on women that I work with.
Especially on women belt like me.
Well,
so.
No. I mean, I just don't think... Like, I just... I'm not like... I don't know. I feel bad that I didn't see your shirt, but I also, again, I'm not really inspecting your outfits every single day because you get called out enough for, you know, looking like you don't shower and your hair and your shoulders. And I don't know. Well, I don't know what looks good and what looks bad. But yes, it is... Bill Clinton's head on, who is that?
No, it's the painting of Bill Clinton in the blue dress that was found in Epstein's estate.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
so if you want to take a now, I'm not asking you to look at my chest, but just, you know, the shirt.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It was a famous painting.
And you're making a you're wearing Epstein stuff.
Yeah, and one person took a screenshot of it and was like, this is fucking cool. And I got to give props to my boy Will. Big Billy Coons got this for me for Christmas like 5 years ago. Because I remember seeing the picture of Bill Clinton. I'm like, I need that on a fucking shirt, bro. That is awesome. And he fucking got it for me.
Did he get it specially made, or was somebody already pumping these out?
I think someone was already pumping these out, but I'm not 100% sure. But either way, it was an awesome gift.
Yeah, no, that's a good gift. Yeah. I mean, you're still rocking it, and you're still loving it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was buried in my drawer, and I was figuring out what to wear last night, even though most people think I don't, you know, I just pull things out. But I just like to have it. So in the dark, I can get ready. And I saw the shirt and I was like, oh, fuck yeah, we're rocking this tomorrow. So
what do people want you to look like in the morning?
What Janessa Brazil, I'm assuming, because that's the female that was on the show before. And you know what? I feel when I realized who was on the show before me, the eye candy that they had, I feel bad. I'm sorry but that's what you had before.
Well, I just met Janessa once or twice, but I mean, a lot of people said that she wasn't the best on the air. Yeah, so I think that.
Well,
I think,
many comments have been made similarly about me, Seth, so I don't know.
You know, I think you're here for the brains and beauty combination here. I don't know. It might lean more towards brains. Who really knows?
Yeah.
But you can't be Janessa. You can't be Brandy Love, but I don't know what people like. To me, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. Morning, if I turned on a show and like the chick had crazy ass hair, I would just be like, you know, I mean, like I'm used to seeing my wife that early in the morning, you know. So I mean, I've been scared before,
right? Exactly. And
you feel pressure every day?
Well, clearly not, because I haven't made an effort in 4 years, and my start time has gotten earlier and earlier. So I was waking up maybe like 5:20, but then I moved, so I was farther away, so I'd wake up at 5, and then, you know, we started doing the early morning meeting, so now it's 4:30. So yeah, I'm 16 to 18 minutes waking up, getting out of my bed, and then out the door. So there's just no way in hell I'm shining like a bright ass light in my face to put paint on my fucking face so I can look less like myself. Sorry, this is what you get. This is my real face. But the great thing about looking like shit most of the time is that when you just put on a little mascara, boy, or just some eyeliner, people are like,
crazy,
whoa, model. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like when you show up to 199s and stuff like that, and you're wearing like jeans and, you know, I don't know what else, makeup or whatever you do.
Yeah, when I just don't look like a bag lady, people are very impressed.
People take like, they take like many steps back, like when they see you. They're like, they're very, oh my God, look at you.
I know.
That's not you from before. It's new you, and it's so much better.
Merch Crit could be topless, but if I walk in next to her with eyeliner and some eyeshadow, people will lose their minds over me, which is sad.
That is true.
So when the bar is low, it's easy to step over is what I'm saying. That's my pitch to the ladies out there. And you know what, Seth? Like, I've realized I hate makeup. I cut off most of my hair a few months ago because I didn't want any more dyed pieces. I'm really just kind of returning back to natural, how I came out of the womb.
You letting
them
pits grow out, or you're still
not quite there?
Okay, good.
Not quite there, but it's still shower, you know, pretty regularly, once to twice a day. But
I feel
just,
like you're a step away from making your own soap in your bathtub. Like I feel like you really are trying to get away from chemicals.
I am. I'm just trying to get back to it. And this isn't why I'm against any sort of plastic surgery, because I'm really not. And I know I get a lot of heat for that. And do what you want, obviously. I don't care. But as far as myself, I just want to be just like a normal human being, a normal aging human being. And that's okay. That should be okay, I think, in some ways.
What, you feel like you're covering it up when you...
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, you use the makeup to... And listen, I do wear makeup occasionally. I may even wear some tomorrow. Who knows? But for the most part, 95% of my life, I just kind of want to just... be comfortable. Is that so much to ask?
No.
I hate thongs. I hate bras. They're just the fucking worst constraining things ever. They make it seem like women like love parading around in this stuff. Listen, I'm sure that there are. I am not like that.
Well,
I like granny panties.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Phoebe told me she didn't like thongs a long time ago.
They're horrible.
Well, and it broke my fucking heart, Anna, because my whole life I've just fantasized about thongs and stuff. And now I'll tell you, like, unless it's like at the beach or something like that, like if you're wearing like, I don't know, like boy shorts or whatever, where, you know, I'm not necessarily as into thongs as I once was. But she's like, they're so uncomfortable.
They're horrible.
Go up your ass and all this stuff. Well, you know what? The chicks that are wearing them, it's super hot because they're dealing with all that being uncomfortable for your pleasure.
Right.
Or not me, or maybe her boyfriend. Or, you know, whatever, but it's like they're going through it to try to just look hot. You know, so like, why can't you put up with a little pain for our pleasure?
I know, and people are more scared of fucking panty lines than they are of COVID. It's wild. Like, oh my God, we can see your panty lines. Oh no, people know I'm wearing underwear. Who fucking cares, bitch? Deal with my panty lines.
Yeah, I don't. I know a lot of shallow guys, but nobody has ever, you know, kicked a woman out for having tan lines at all.
No, panty lines.
The
panty lines that people are so afraid of. God forbid you bend over a little bit and you could see the outline of the underwear that you're wearing.
Oh my God.
Women are like, oh my God, you can see your panty lines. I'm like, who fucking cares? I'm glad that bitch isn't rolling around commando nasty at the gym. Okay,
there's Instagram. I don't know how my algorithm stumbled upon these, Anna, to be honest with you. But there's business women and stuff that like go around and like pick up pens off the floor, and like they're in the break room getting coffee, and like the camera sneaking up behind them, and it's all like underwear that you can see through the dresses and all that kind of stuff.
Is this Brandy Love's content?
This is other up and coming, you know, Instagram models, hoes, and all that. But yeah, there's all sorts of odd content, but office women just picking up pencils and seeing their panty lines is something that guys are into.
Yeah, women are so afraid of it, and then they wear the thongs, which I thankfully, I'll be very honest, I've never gotten a yeast infection from it, but I know that many have. It just can't be good with how close it is to your butthole, and then it gets close
to your...
Well,
who invented it? I mean, there had to be a good...
Probably a guy!
There had
Probably
to be
a fucking guy!
There had to be a good reason to stick a string up your ass.
Dude,
I mean, it's
bro,
gotta be.
Come on, man.
Well, listen, tidy whities aren't the best invention ever for underwear, you know? They got the boxers, like, nothing... They haven't mastered underwear for men. I mean, like,
boxer briefs seem pretty reasonable.
They were good,
right? Like, they're tight enough, but it's not like boxers. I never understood that. I'm like, I would have guys on the track team when I was in high school wearing boxers, and they're just fucking their balls and their dick are just running around. And you know, there was a lot of black guys, so you could see that shit going up and down. I'm like, why don't you wear something tighter?
I wear boxers. Boxer briefs, when I started getting a little more plump, They can make you feel fat because they really sucks that area in.
Oh, but I mean, don't you feel like you want a little bit more?
But I heard if you're high,
support.
Yes, but I hear if you're high and tight, it's bad for your balls.
I'm not asking for budgie smugglers, but like boxer briefs where you kind of have a little space where the package is, but it kind of keeps them from. I'm not a guy. I don't got a dick and balls, but I feel like it's a better option.
I'm going to keep it a fucking hundo with you. I'm really not insecure, but when you get the package of underwear and you see the fucking bodies that are on it, Anna, yeah. Like I don't feel like it's for me. Yeah. Like when I see this guy in the fucking Hanes, you know, or the Tommy Hilfiger tight-ass things and their abs and all that, I'm like, maybe I'm more of a Hanes guy, you know? So I feel like it's not for me.
Interesting. It's nice to hear that, you know, men are insecure about seeing advertisements with men's underwear too, because women often feel the same way where, well, they're really trying to cater to, you know, the fatties and all different quote types of bodies these days. So yeah. I guess that's nice. And I kind of get like the marketing a little bit because I think that women who are buying it are like, oh, that's what it would look like on me. You know,
well,
and I think that on some level, maybe keep them off the runway at the Victoria's Secret show. But on the catalogs, I think it's perfectly appropriate to have different bodies so you can kind of see what it looks like on, you know, an XL or 3X or something.
I'm good with seeing hot people for, you know, a little while.
There's plenty of those.
I'm in the most. Like I said, I'm pretty secure and have confidence despite whatever you hear on the radio. Like, I feel good about, like, the stuff that I'm doing, but I've talked about this before, I feel horrible about myself and how big I am and all that.
You're getting smaller. I mean, and people have said it on Instagram when I posted that picture of you with Brandy.
I read comments everywhere, but Instagram pictures of me, I don't read comments. I'll read comments about the show all fucking day.
Yeah.
But if there's a picture of me, I will not read comments.
I think I've seen a few things in chat where they're like, Seth looks better.
Oh, so I don't.
Yeah, like I think that you're getting thinner.
Thank you. I am not eating at night anymore.
Great.
So I'm not eating the fucking bag of Reese's, you know, cups at night or anything like that. I have listened to what you guys have said about the intermittent fasting. I'm pretty much doing it now because I don't have any coffee with almond milk or anything like that in the morning. So I don't know the next time I'll eat is, and then I eat everything within like, you know, a 4 or 5 hour window. So I feel like I'm doing that. Working out with Bubba yesterday was awesome because I felt like shit. I didn't want to do it. I wanted to throw up afterwards, but you have to make that first step.
Yes, that's the hardest part.
You know, I was going for long walks and thinking that I was doing something, and maybe I was doing a little bit, but like I feel like I'm on a right path now after this podcast. I'm going to get blood work today.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. I'm right. You know, I'm a little late for my yearly physical and had to wait till I could get some insurance. Shout out to Phoebe for locking that down with her new job.
God bless her.
I actually went the other day on. I went, you know, Quest Diagnostics is just that's the worst place to go on earth.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
I'm like, did I just go there in September? I got blood drawn.
Yeah.
But I think I went. I may have gone through that.
It was probably. It's like, I think it's only Quest. I feel like they have a monopoly on it. But I went there. I get in the chair. They tell me that I owe them $122, which I had no fucking idea.
You didn't prepay?
No, I guess I owe it from last time. No, there's no prepay because
you have the insurance.
Well, not that, but they don't charge you until like everything goes through and they see how much everything costs, and then they'll bill you whether it's out of pocket or insurance. Like they'll bill you afterwards.
Huh, okay.
So she's like, all right, you owe me $122, and I was like, okay, well, I check the account real quick. It's got $140. I'm like, all right, let's do
sweet.
This.
Sweet, let's go.
Yeah, so I give her the card. She's like, all right, it's not going through, and I was like, what? I said I checked everything. So she's like, all right, let me try it again. Tries it again, doesn't go through. So I go, okay, this is 1 o'clock. I had fasted all fucking day for this thing. So I go, all right, I guess I'll try to figure this out. So I called Phoebe, and I was using an expired Bank of America card.
I wasn't using
the brand new one that she gave me because I have stuff in my wallet that clearly is expired. So that was what the issue was the other day. I thought that we were poor or something like that, but it was just that I didn't...
Use the updated card.
Yeah, I didn't have the updated card. So now I'm going back today, updated card, ready to get my blood work.
Oh, so they let you go? Well, obviously.
Yeah,
they
didn't take my blood. They sent me out on my ass because I have 122.
I thought they had already done the work and then they, okay.
No. She's like, all right, before I do this, you owe me 122.
That's why
I was like,
right.
And then so they sent me out and now I'm going back today. So hope I got 100.
Oh, so you're refasted again.
I essentially fast every morning, but yeah, like I said, I stopped drinking coffee in the morning because it just wasn't doing anything for me.
Oh,
so.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah,
did you just start this week? Because I thought I saw you bringing coffee last week.
I'll be honest. I've done it a day this week and I think a day last week. There's mm-hmm. Yesterday I might have had coffee.
Yeah.
No. Tuesday, because I do multiple shows. I do Clement Kush, and then I do Operation Pigmentation.
Yeah.
So I have coffee that day. But other days when I wake up, and for today, no coffee. I'm tired of trying coffee from all over the place, trying to act like it's not fucking disgusting.
Oh, I love it.
And trying to act like it gets me
where you need to be.
Yeah. I've come in here and I've done shows that are just fine. Not having been on coffee, and that's all I needed to do to prove it to myself. So
yeah.
I think if I have a little food in the morning, it'll be more beneficial instead of having absolutely nothing. But
you can experiment, you know, see what works, see what doesn't.
But right now, man, I'm no coffee. I'm feeling great. About to go get mine at the blood station. Quest, shout out.
I know I've said this to you before, and I've made the same sort of criticism to my other friends as well, as far as the daily, Starbucks or Kahwa or whatever the fuck people get. It's usually Starbucks, right?
Yeah.
And I have this girlfriend who came to visit maybe about 2 weeks ago just one night.
You're not about to do this thing where you crunch the numbers of how much you spend in the year on coffee, are you?
No, quite the opposite, actually.
Because that one stuck with me, you bitch.
Yeah. Well, guess what? And I said that to you. I'm like, how much money you could save, da-da-da. So I have a girlfriend who gets Starbucks every single day, and she's in New York. She came to visit me. She's my best friend from college, actually. And she came to visit me, I think it was 2 weeks ago, just for a single night. And she starts talking about the, I need to get Starbucks thing. And then I don't start just with the all-out criticism, but I go, do you ever just make it at home sort of a thing? And she goes, she already knew me. She's like, listen, bitch, I know where this is going. She goes, because I'm like, how much money you can. She goes,
yeah, coffee
Anna,
shaming.
She goes, Anna, I have such a stressful job in life. And she said, that one coffee, I know it's $5-6 a day. It brings me so much fucking joy. She goes, just knowing that I have that to look forward to make my shitty life a little bit better, she goes, is worth the money. And I stopped in my tracks and I go, you're completely right. If that $5 a day, $25 a week, let's just say it's just Monday through Friday, brings you so much joy.
$2,500 a year, whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm like, if that is what brings you joy, which to me is pretty much what life is all about, is like the small and big, but oftentimes the small things that bring you joy and savoring those moments.
Yes.
Then what the fuck am I talking about? So I was like, V, her name starts with V. So I'm just like, V, you're fucking right, and I'm never going to make that criticism to you or anyone else ever again.
Oh.
I get it now. I get it now because that small thing brings people, sometimes when they have nothing to look forward to the rest of the day, they know that they're going to have their mocha latte with 3 pumps of vanilla, sugar-free, no whip bullshit. That brings them so much fucking joy. Who the fuck am I to tell them that they don't deserve
it's
that?
Very, it's very, that's, an, so, it's,
you
I,
know.
I have a lot of, man, we're not going to get to any of the stuff that we talked about today, but that's interesting because on two levels, coffee was something I used to look forward to just because I knew that it would get me where I needed to be, but it stopped doing that, and it just became like a chore to go there and feel like I had to do it.
Yeah.
So coffee wasn't one of those things, but, like we talk about, I love fucking baseball cards and shit. Well, I'm not spending $4 a day, on coffee and all that shit. So at the end of the week, I'm like, if I want to go buy a pack of cards or something for $30, it's like, this is not money that I've spent. So, we have
great.
This worked up. So,
and if it brings you joy, then, and it's not hurting anybody, obviously, heroin brings me joy.
Yeah.
Okay, shut the fuck up. But if it's something like your cards or your daily coffee, made a certain kind of way, go for it. I'm completely changing my Jew tune to this one. Go for it.
I got into it with Phoebe this week because she said to blame it on her hormones, but she was fucking all over me about money and spending money on cards and
mm-hmm.
seeing, transactions coming in out of our website and the thing or out of our bank account. The thing mm-hmm. is that I have card money in my Cash App. So anytime that, I spend money on cards or whatever, I'll put it back in. But sometimes I'll pay sometimes it'll be a PayPal and I'll put the cash in and then the PayPal doesn't come out until the next day, and then she sees the Cash App. So it looks like we have more money than we do because the other money hasn't come out. So she was just all over me about the fucking cards, and I'm spending money on it. I was like, we're even. Like, I don't spend our money on cards. Like, people pay me for cards. Like, I have the money on Cash App, and, you know, I take care of my, you know, the cards when I need to, because I don't want to use our family's money on it right now. So, you know, she ended up apologizing for yelling to me about all that.
Okay.
But I texted her today, and I was like, you know, it's payday. And I was like, on payday, I like to, the card store is on the way home. And I said, can I stop at the card store and, you know, spend $30? And she's like, yes. She goes, I realize that there's no reason. Let me actually get the exact text because it's right what we're talking about.
Mm.
She said, I'm starting to believe that it's more important for us to enjoy the money we work for. It's been a very hard few months. I'll make sure we budget, but enjoy too. So
awesome.
Yeah. So that's the best of both worlds. So she's going to make sure that, you know, we're responsible. But, you know, there would be a point where I'd be like, can I get cards? And she'd fucking yell at me like I was trying to make my family homeless. And I was like,
right.
You know, I was like, that's not why we're in a, you know, weird financial position, which, you know, she got a job and now she has insurance. And, you know, we're finally getting out of that and having some breathing room again. But
yeah,
you're going through life where you just can't enjoy anything.
What's the point?
I told her, people are like, whether it's cards or whether you go out and buy an expensive brunch or whatever, I told her, I am not going to live my life. Every day I'm fucking fighting anxiety and dealing with whatever. I was like, I'm not going to go through my life and just go through the end of the day and just be like, well, there was really nothing that made me super happy. You know, I didn't do anything. This isn't a treat yourself, but this is just like, sometimes you need money to make yourself happy or do something like that. Maybe $5, sometimes it's $5 million. But I didn't want to go through a day where I didn't feel like, man, at least I had a little bit of fun.
Absolutely.
Outside of work, whether it's, you know, like I said, what it could be anything on the spectrum. So she's seeing that now, and I'm probably going to start spending all my family's money on cards again since I got a green light. But yeah, I felt like it went along the lines of the epiphany that you had with your friend.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have guardrails on it, obviously, if you're just gambling away all your family's money. Not saying that you're doing that or just overspending.
I did that in the past, and now we're recovering
from
it.
But if you're kind of keeping it together and you could save a little bit of money here or there, it's like, but that's the thing that brings you the joy, the little bit of joy that, you know, that you can carve out each day, then God bless you and go for it. So the next time someone tells me they go to Starbucks every day, I'm going to say,
what do you
good
get?
On you.
Yeah, just go, like, what do you get?
Get like, me one too, bitch.
What makes you happy there? You know?
Exactly. And you know what? I get it. Because to me, it's not one of my things that makes me happy. Because if I know that I just spent $6 when I could have spent zero at home, that gives me anxiety. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to buy it. Why would I buy it when I can make it at home? But I have to understand that not everybody thinks like me. And much like I told Brian Babyface Matroni during one of the breaks, he started talking about the Peeping Tom thing. This was during a hot mic. He's like, oh, that's so weird. Like, why would you fucking... And I just looked at him and I said something to him that my mother said to me deep into my 30s.
If it brings you joy, do it.
That was a good callback. But she said to me, Anna, not everyone is like you. And I remember just being like, what the fuck? Yeah, of course. But when I really let that sink in, I was like, not everyone like values the same things I value or is interested in the same things I'm interested in or is, you know, not kinky and vanilla like me or whatever the case may be, they're the opposite of that. So you have to understand that, like, not everybody is into or not into the things that you are into, and they value different things. So just try to keep that in mind. So I said to him, I'm like, Brian, not everybody is like you, okay? Some people have weird fucking kinks. Then that's the only way that they can get off. And God bless you for not having any of those kinks. Because I often think...
Oh, Brian's got the kinks. He worked them out in Vegas with his buddies.
Yeah, doing the blow with Martin or something
I think that there was... I don't think any women were involved. I think it was all four of those guys. Brian seemed different today. Like he had seen some stuff.
He seemed happy about it. he had this smirk, extra smirk on his face because he had seen and done some shit. But for example, a kink that is horrific to me that some people are afflicted with, some might even call it an orientation, is pedophilia.
Okay.
Could you imagine living life where you're like, man, I'm not attracted to anybody my own age or even close to my age. The only thing that can give me a boner is a toddler. How? And we always listen, and I'm not trying to make a pitch for fucking pedophiles, especially, you know, all the things I've been accused of lately, but I'm going to say, like, how horrible would it be if you're, you know, whether being gay, straight, both, whatever.
What are you saying? You're born to be a pedophile
what
kind
if
of
you're
thing?
Well, I would say maybe you're somewhat born with it. Maybe it's, no, I was about to say maybe it's Maybelline, but maybe.
It's like a chemical imbalance.
That or, you know, conditioning. You were raped as a kid, whatever the case may be. But like, imagine that imprinting that goes on. And I've read a lot of stuff on sexual kinks and when they start. And it's like, you know, maybe you're 5 years old, your mom spanks you and you get like kind of a boner.
That's what I figured.
And then now you like spanking.
Yeah.
So imagine you get raped when you're 4. Now you want to fuck kids or whatever the case may be. I don't really know the science behind wanting to blast kids.
The science is almost like you stop your mental, like, you stop at like 4 years old.
Yes.
I feel like, is that, I've heard, I don't want to get into too much, but I've heard a little psychology of, you know, this stuff. And look, I don't know how all pedophilia works. I don't know if you're born with it. I don't know if it's something that develops. I really don't know. But how many people, Anna, would go, I have this attraction towards kids and it's fucking wrong and I need to turn myself in or do something because I don't want to be like this anymore.
A lot of people get therapy for that. I've heard therapists talk about it. They're like, people come in, they go, I'm attracted to kids. I know it's a degenerate base thing. I don't want to go to prison. I know it's wrong, but they are the only people I'm attracted to. Please help me. Like, there are plenty of people like that are not criminals. They are, I guess, pedophiles in the sense that they are attracted to children. They've never acted on it. I mean, how horrible of an affliction would that be if you're just rolling around and you're like, the only thing that's getting me off is the worst thing that you could ever do to someone.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, that would fucking suck.
That would be terrible. And it's not just the, it's not, it's, there's so many layers to it, Anna, because to me, it's like, when people are pulling up, you know, child porn on their computer, I don't even know how the fuck we got down this road, but when they're pulling, it's dark.
Lean into it.
But when they're pulling up, you know, the child, you know, child porn on their computer and stuff, people are like, oh, well, you know, it's a victimless crime. But if there wasn't that fucking desire, then somebody wouldn't have fucking had sex with this 3-year-old to put it out there for people like you. You know, it's not a victimless crime just to watch it. Anybody involved in any of it, whether you're...
Yeah. My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get when you're talking through Mint Mobile. I mean, I can't believe that I've been living some other life with all this scratchy mobile when I can get crystal clear and the best mobile through Mint Mobile. And I can do it all for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. I can afford this. How much have I been paying on my other plan? Probably getting gouged. But it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan. I mean, I'm talking jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Say goodbye to all that nonsense. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with a premium wireless plan starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited-time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
There's a market for it. Right. So people create it, manufacture it, and part of that is creating it, you know?
And
so.
Whether you're born with it, whatever the fuck, like, it needs to go away. Like, they need to, what is it called when they take your boys, your
castrate you?
Yeah, you're like a eunuch or something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Were so you think that, like, for example, here, if you're like you're attracted to kids, you haven't done anything.
This is very right wing of me, aren't you, don't I?
You think you should be chemically castrated if you haven't done anything? You have an attraction, much like you might have an attraction to women or men or, you know,
not if you haven't done anything.
But if you haven't acted on it, but you have urges. What should be done?
I'm not going to rip your private parts off if you had urges, okay. But I think that if you've been out on the streets after you got arrested once and you do it again, then I think you have to cure that person. So I don't necessarily
cure them.
I think you have to cure them by taking off their privates. Mm. I mean, because Anna, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep this pedophile locked in jail for the rest of his life, which you can do, or chop off the guy's privates and send him back out there into society?
I feel like justice usually takes care of itself in prison when it comes to pedophiles.
Right,
so,
that's true.
You know, there's that aspect of it. As far as chemically castrating, I mean, that probably falls underneath the umbrella of cruel and unusual punishment, which we are, as a country, I'm doing the, you know, the air quotes, against.
Very much so.
In quotes.
I'm very ashamed I even brought that up. It just seems like, you know, I wasn't prepared to talk about pedophilia. It's not something I think about too much. You know, you mentioned earlier on about not wearing makeup, and my daughter just had her dance pictures this Saturday, and I'm sure you know because you were in dance. They got her hair fucking pulled back, and her whole face is, you know, painted red, and I go, I do not like this. I was like, I do not like this. I just told Phoebe, I go, this makeup, it seems like it's a lot. We got to just dial it back a little bit. So I don't know if that's good or bad. That like,
what
I'm
does
a,
the costume look like?
Is
it age appropriate?
Yeah, there was like showing a belly or anything like that. It was pretty much like a. Is it called a unitard?
Yeah, like a one piece.
Yeah, I don't want to know if that. I don't want to. Sorry if I hate saying, you know, anything with. Sorry, it was a one piece. Is what it was.
Leotard, unitard. You're good.
It was leotard. It was good. So from what I saw, it was just the makeup that they put on these kids, even for pictures, is just absolutely fucking insane. But back to the pedophiles,
yes,
Anna.
Yes, back to the pedophiles.
You know, because of my daughter, it's something that, like, you know, I ponder and all.
Sure.
I'm always, like, sizing people up. Whenever there's an event with all dads, I'm like, you know, who the fuck's the creep here? And then I realize that it's me. So I just, it's something that if again, you're either going to fucking put him in jail forever or you're going to have to do something else if you're going to let him out in society, because I don't think you're just going to keep these guys, you know, locked up forever if they're downloading child porn. That's all I can think of right now. Maybe next episode I'll have a better way to handle pedophiles, right? But I think right now those are all I have to work with.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good. I didn't mean to go down the road of feeling sorry for pedophiles, because I certainly don't, especially those that act on it. But I also think, like, fuck, what a horrible affliction to go through life where, you know, sex is very important to biological creatures, especially humans, because we seem to do it when we aren't trying to reproduce or anything. And it feels good to most, I would say. And to think that, you know, I mean, you got to think as like a biological organism, you're too. Main objectives are to live, so not die, try to survive, and fuck, reproduce. So when one of those things is tainted by this horrible affliction where all you want to do is fuck kids, like that just seems like, oh my God. And it was so weird because I did go down, I don't want to say a pedophilia rabbit hole, but I did find some therapists talking about how there are a lot of people walking around with this problem. They haven't acted on it and they like don't know what to do.
Well,
and they feel horrible and guilty, but like where, like it's kind of like conversion therapy for the gays. Remember? It's like, oh, just, it's like, well, it's not a choice. It's like they were just born that way. It's like, exactly. Now what do you do with the pedophiles? They were just born that way. You're going to try to convert them to like to wanting to fuck adults?
Well, I think it's very it's great that the pedophiles are trying to get out in front of, you know, the stuff that they're into. I don't even know if they're officially a pedophile if they haven't, you know, done anything at all. So
you could be like a closeted gay man who's never done anything with a guy, but you're you know, attracted to men, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. We'll keep the pedophile label on them. But you know what? Let me look into it and let me talk to my constituents, Anna, and we'll get back here with a pedophile policy next week.
We'll put a pin in it and circle back.
Yeah. I'll get some good info on it.
I'm trying out my corporate talk just, you know, in case things don't work out.
No, things are are going to be good. Why? Were you worried about, like, at the end of the show today?
No. That was all Brian. So, I mean, I think I may have chuckled, which didn't help my cause. But for the most part, I think that I let Brian take the heat.
What I saw people saying, like, that you made a face. Did you make a face at all?
I make faces sometimes. Because only outlet because I can't say anything because I don't want to interrupt anybody and get mad. So the only people, it's like everyone is just trying to tie every hand behind my back. Like, don't say anything so I don't say anything. But then, like, I look and it's like, don't look. So then I might roll my eyes. It's like, I saw you roll your eyes. And then it's like, I saw you look at Brian too long. So it's like, dude, just get a life. Stop. Why are you so obsessed with me? Like, fucking leave me alone.
The chat?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
some people in chat, they're going off on me, bro. And I see all of it. I try not to acknowledge it because I feel like that would just, like, fuel it even
more.
What
do you see? Like, Longwood?
Yeah, him and some others. I don't even want to, like, name them.
No, I know.
I see that shit a lot. Yeah. And listen, let me tell you about that motherfucker right now. I looked him up on Instagram the other day. Fucking gross, okay?
Oh, no.
Gross motherfucker. Probably dumb as hell. I'm guessing an IQ between, I don't know, 60 and 65, maybe. That's probably a stretch even for him. Okay? Because I was like, who is this guy who's always talking? I get it, like, once, twice, I say something fucking stupid. Right. That's gonna happen. I get it. But I mean, this is just like non-fucking stop. So I'm like, I'm not gonna, like, reach out to him. Apparently Bubba Army already follows him. Cool. I know you have some good correspondence. He seems to like you in chat, and God bless him for that. But, you know, I just want to see what the fuck I'm working with. Is this like some hot millionaire? Obviously fucking not.
Right.
So
right.
People, and I know this has been said before, but anybody who is, like, doing better than you is not, like, wasting their time making fun of you or criticizing you. They're doing their own thing.
That's what I thought.
So clearly he doesn't have a lot going
on. That's what
on.
I thought. Well, I think he's actually, like, on, I think he's on, like, disability right now. I think he got hurt. That's fucked up his shoulder or something like that.
Well, that's what happens when you're a piece of shit, go ahead.
I used to think that, you know, if you were sitting at a fucking computer talking shit or whatever, that your life wasn't going well. But then I saw these people that were sitting around talking shit and start donating money to the show, like more money than I fucking have. And I was like, wait, they got the life. They got the money and they can sit around and talk shit. So I know that that's probably the minority of people. But yeah, I definitely see Longwood talking about you. He's a guy that I've dealt with. You know, he's would probably say he's rough around the edges.
And that's fine. Listen, I can handle it. I handle a lot of shit around here. I can certainly handle that and just ignore it. It's no problem. But, like, I will admit that, you know, I'm like, okay, like, I've seen this guy pop up quite a bit. And I did a little investigation, and I was like, well, that is exactly what you would expect. It's nice when your expectation meets reality, because it's rare that those things actually meet, you know, where you're like, I have a feeling I have an idea of the archetype of person I'm dealing with. And then you do just a little bit of research, and you're like, oh, this is exactly what I predicted.
It just made you feel better about everything?
Yeah, and I didn't, like, block him. I don't delete him. I didn't, you know, send him a nasty message. I just let him just say what, if that makes you, if that is your Starbucks coffee, buddy, by all means, continue. If that sort of shit makes you feel better about your shitty fucking life, then go ahead. It's fine. I can handle it. Obviously, I let it roll off my back. Some things I don't let roll off my back.
I feel like this is like a. I feel like this is like a 4-year like purge that you're getting right now.
With
Longwood.
Oh no. This is honestly, again, I wasn't reading chat for a while because there were some negative things. But I do read chat. You know, a lot of people say that I don't, but I do, and sometimes I do during the show, especially when you guys are doing your sports thing. I'll try to interact a little bit more with chat because I'm not really interacting with you guys on the air when you're talking about things I don't know about. So yeah, I'm like reading it. I'll say hi to people. And I was like, wow, there's a lot of a frequency of not happy guy saying things about me.
Well,
so,
Rumble is also right. I've realized Rumble's also a lot tougher on everybody than YouTube is. Like, YouTube's pretty chill. YouTube, it seems like they talk about the show a lot.
Yeah, you got CC Hall, who's just keeping it nice.
Right.
God bless that woman.
Everybody keeps it going in there. There's not much. Like, somebody will get a snipe in, you know. Somebody got some juice stuff in last week, but I think we're all good. But Rumble is a lot more of, like, people having their own conversations, whether it's about politics, whether it's about people on the show.
Yeah.
Very, I would say, like, maybe...
Loose-lipped.
Right. Very, like, 20% of it is actually about, you know, what's happening on the show. So, I mean, you know, people have their favorites and everything like that.
That's
I just,
fine.
Yeah. I just, you know, what's there's We don't have to just make anybody feel horrible about themselves.
You know what? It's a fucking free country, man. Like, you want to do it, and if it's you're not saying anything, like, you know,
he's not gonna kill
Hitler,
you.
Yeah, you're not threatening my life. Like, say it. It's okay. And you know what? Here's the thing is, like, you should be able to hear that and, like, be okay. Because that's the sort of thing that I know Bubba talks about a lot, the pussification of America. You can't criticize anybody, and everybody gets upset. Everybody accuses you of being a, you know, ist of some sort, whether it's a racist, a sexist, a xenophobe, whatever the case may be. You should be able to hear some criticism or some not nice things and go, okay, I respect the fact that you say that. But now you have to respect the fact that when I want to talk shit about you, you got to take it as well.
Oh.
So I think that that's okay. I think looking at horrible things of yourself online, not always, but can lead you to become a more resilient person.
Yeah. So, I'd say that.
That's good. Thank you, Longwood. Appreciate it.
And it's good to, you know, like, you have people, too, that want to get your attention, you know, the negative stuff. Like,
sure.
You know, I'll be on Rumble and I'll see somebody that'll get, you know, Seth fucking looks like shit. Was this fucking snowflake going to take his backpack? Like, mm-hmm. You can't believe you just said that. Like, and you could tell, like, they want to be seen. They want to be seen.
Of course.
And I've finally learned to just leave that shit alone. Yeah. Like, I used to respond to that, just like get a little chippy, and then there's nowhere it goes. So I try to just hang with the people that are positive and saying hi, and I try not to get sucked in by anybody that's trying to fucking suck me in, you know?
Yeah. And I can tell when I start responding to people on chat. The people that hate me are trying to, because I'm reading it. They know I'm reading it live, so they'll start really like hyping up the negative shit in hopes that I'll respond to it. And every once in a great, great while, I haven't done it in a while, but I'll just like lose my top. You know, kind of like you did. It happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
But I just like skip right over those and just, I'm like, oh, hey, what's up, Jay Gator, cool ass motherfucker, or CC Hall, very nice woman. You know, I just kind of respond to those people. Who
that's what I'm, yeah. That,
keep it real. Big Lunger, big fan, sweetheart.
That's
sweetheart of a man.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's you got to just, I was putting my time in the wrong people. And, you know, you could, this is the same thing I would do on social media, the same thing you could do. You know, if you're reading comments about yourself, there could be 40 great comments and there's one shitty comment, and then you write the shitty person back. You don't even spend time, you know, thanking the people that, you know, appreciate what you did. And so, you know, that's what it is right now. And like I said, that's what I used to get sucked into, was people talking shit, and I thought that I could, you know, put them in their place. And now, you know what I do? I just wait for people to go, man, I fucking hated you before, and I was mad you're coming back, but you won me over. Like, I take pictures of those, and I have a few of them, and like, that's what keeps me
good.
Going. That's what keeps me going. Because I know, I'm just going to be myself, but if I can turn people who had this hostility toward me for maybe no reason, then maybe I'm doing my job okay.
I think so. I agree with that. Last thing that we'll kind of cover before we get out of here is I might be going back to school. Back to school.
Yeah, you popped that on me yesterday.
Yeah, man, I've been thinking about it a lot.
I can see you thinking about your options, and you're like,
no. Honestly, not that. This is something that has haunted me for the last 10 years of
what
my
do you
life.
Need? You need like one class to get your master's? Is that what it is?
Yeah, so for those that don't know, I'm a grad school dropout, which is probably my least favorite thing about me, is that I fucking quit. And it's not, here's the thing, like, I'm not going to use this degree for anything. Like, I mean, who knows, I guess you should say. But I got my bachelor's. I went to grad school for 2 years. All I had to do was essentially like a final project. And I was so checked out of school. I'm actually working on, okay, there's a lot of things going through my mind right now. I'm in correspondence with the grad school, with the department, with one of my old advisors who I didn't even know.
Still works there?
Dude, it was fucked up. So you saw me calling them yesterday.
Well, I was talking to Anna, told me she was, you know, going back to school and that.
No, I said I'm going to try to, because they may just reject everything.
Right. And I was, you know, I went back to school a couple of times and ended up, you know, flaming out. So, and then she was talking about how she had emailed and nobody had gotten back to her. I was like, well, why don't you just give them a call? She's like, you know what? I'm going to go fucking call them. And you went outside and you looked like you were on a mission patient, you know, on a mission pacing back and forth. And it looks like you started to gain some ground yesterday.
Yeah. So I actually did call them about 2 weeks ago, left a message. No one got back to me. So I kind of forgot about it, as I do. And then I was talking to you about it yesterday and I go, you know what? I'm going to call them back. So I called them back, got the voicemail, left a message. And then I'm probably 5 minutes from my house and they fucking call me. Very nice woman gets on the phone just to not a Hoosier, but she's from Michigan, whatever they call it, Michigan.
Wolverine?
No, I mean, it's at Oakland University. It's a smaller university close to Detroit. And she calls me and she used some colorful language and I'm like, this is my bitch right here. I like her already. She sends me over to Danielle in who fucking knows the psychology department. And then Danielle and I are talking for about 5-10 minutes and she goes, all right, I'm going to send you to the whatever head of the department, something or other. And she goes, it's a Dr. Ziegler Hill. And then I said, is that Virgil? And she goes, yeah. It's Virgil. I'm like, oh, he's still there. She goes, yes, he's still there. And I'm like, oh, no. So this guy I took statistics from, very nice gentleman, does psychology research. But, like, I am very ashamed of what I did, which was just pretty much bail. I bailed on the school. No, I didn't know. No, God, no. I bailed on my education. I bailed on the school. I bailed on my future. And then I left the state. So I'd be like, I really committed to just getting the fuck out of everything I was doing at that time in my life. I just tried to start fresh. And I did. I left. I got a part-time promo job from Mike Olivero on January 28th. 2016, and 2 months later, I was fucking in Florida. So, I mean, I was really trying to get the fuck out of there. I remember him being like, you're going to move across the country for a part-time job. I'm like, I would do it for a free sandwich. I hate this place. Get me out of here. And so, very grateful for that. So, you know.
Do you think he remembers? Did you talk to him yesterday?
So, he called me at about 9:53 a.m. this morning.
Oh,
so, it was
okay.
Like the last segment of the show, and I see my phone coming, and it's a 248 area code, which is Oakland County. So I'm like, oh, fuck, he's calling me back. So I listened to the message, and he basically said, like, look, usually you have 6 years to complete your master's. I am now 10 years out. So he's said he's not optimistic, but that I should fucking try.
Oh, no.
He's like, you should try. Now, listen, again, this isn't going to... I will be much more
Could you finish anywhere else,
content?
Or is that just their rule?
I'm gonna figure it out.
Okay.
Like, you know, I listen, if the only option is you have to start from zero, I'm not gonna do it.
No.
That's ridiculous and a waste of everyone's time. But if the option is to transfer or, you know, do a side project or take a few classes.
Someone will take your money.
Well, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what we can do. So I'm going to try. But I was given some instruction from one of my good friends, and he's trying to transfer credits. And I was talking to him about a month ago, and then my situation got brought up. And I, you know, we started brainstorming about it. So that's initially the reason why I first reached out, because I just thought it was hopeless. He's like, nothing's hopeless. Go fucking ask. I'm like, you're right. Ask. So I did, and that's happening. But he told me, this was the advice he told me. He goes, listen, Anna. He goes, they're probably not going to want to take you back, so you need to come up with a fucking serious sob story about why you just fucking bailed. He's like, say you were raped.
Oh,
he's like, I'm wow. Like, what? He's like, I'm telling you, say that you were sexually assaulted. You were by someone in the, like, you know, a fellow student. Just not name names, but just say you were going through some shit. You know, my parents were going through a divorce. That is true. Just start fucking naming everything horrible. You came down with Hashimoto's, whatever the fuck. He's like, just pick something, roll with it, and really dress it up, because that's the only way. Because here's the thing that I'm learning more and more as I progress through life, is that nothing is set in stone, right? There are guidelines and there are rules, but if you talk to the right people and they feel maybe pity for you, or they feel inspired by you, that you're coming back after whatever, they can make it a determination. So even Virgil, he called me back, he goes, listen, it's 6 years, but it's up to the university. So you're going to have to correspond with them, and they will make a determination on whether or not they want to accept you back, or, you know, whatever the case may be.
It seems so fucking stupid, right?
I'm like, you already, like, it's not like the credits dissolve. I still spent the money and did the time, put in the work. It's like, just, it was, in my mind, it's like, I was put on pause. Like, let me unpause it.
Yeah.
Let me press play and finish. So that's what I'm going to try to do, but I am kind of constructing a sob story, and I was just wondering if you maybe had any recommendations as to some horrible traumatic things I may have experienced that may, if you were, you know, head of admissions and you read my story, you'd be like, let give this bitch another chance.
Here we go. I'm hoping this is a little bit lighter than rape, but heavier than your parents getting a divorce.
Okay.
You you started transitioning. And you went through all of it, and you know all the hormones messed you up, and then you stopped transitioning. You detransitioned, and you've been in therapy, and now that you've detransitioned and you're back on the right track, your therapist suggested that you do something that you did when you were a full-on girl, which was go to college and try to finish.
And you know what? If I sent them a picture of myself, they're like, we see it. Like, your shoulders are popping. I'm like, exactly.
I mean, that's really hot these days. I mean, you can't really, like, you can't really kick somebody out, or you just really work a fact that you're Jewish, you're in fear for your life right now, and you would love to go back to school so you get your degree and get a job where you could live in a gated community where the Palestinians won't try to kill you every day.
Ooh, that's a good one. It was my Bubby's dying wish that I go back to school and finish my degree. Please let me.
Was it really?
Or no.
I think you need to go
Bubby
with something
heavy.
I think you got to go with something heavy.
Yeah. I'm thinking sexual assault, but you're thinking that's too much?
I'm thinking it's sexual assault to me could be bad karma.
So that's pretty hot right now. It's, you know.
Sexual assault?
Yeah.
It's
trendy. It's hot.
I get that. Sexual assault, you know, could be, but I feel like it's bad karma to put that out there on you. But I'm saying if you say that you were transitioning and detransitioning, I don't think you're going to lose your lady parts or anything like that. So I think that you would be okay. There would be less karma coming from that.
What about like mental disorders? Could we go with something that's, I'm not saying anxiety, I'm not trying to downplay anxiety, but something that is a little bit more enigmatic?
You would need a couple of notes, I think, from psychologists saying that you either flamed out because you were fucked up, or
had a psychotic break.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, I think that would actually be something. It's tough to kick people out with mental issues too.
Exactly, because that's also hot.
Right, mental is very, very hot right now. So I think if you get
the stigma.
If you got a letter which you could fake very easily, and then I could take a picture of my medications that I'm on for anxiety, put your name on them. I mean, we could send them this and. Possibly have you in by the end of the day.
Just send me and all my pills. Yeah. This is what I'm dealing with.
Lexapro, Wellbutrin, Xanax.
Mm-hmm. Zofran.
Yes, Zofran, medical marijuana. Mm, I mean, let's get this girl in here.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm concocting right now is the sob story about how I might be able to get back in. But here's the thing, like, even if I get back in, I'm not... Ziegler, what's his name? Virgil was saying that, you know, in order to accept me back to Oakland, and they don't offer any online graduate course. So I'm like, bitch, I ain't moving back to fucking Michigan. Listen, I got to just take this. I got to see how far this rabbit hole goes and see exactly what I can do, because there is no way in fucking hell I'm ever moving back to the 248.
There's so many job or universities that would probably have you all signed up. You probably don't have to take PE or something like that to get your degree. I mean, colleges are a business. I mean, they are to make money. So to turn your money away, whatever that may be, is absolutely insane.
Yeah. So, and
go to the
competitor. Money has been spent. So I just feel like, come on, man, give me a break a little bit. So I'm going to figure out today. He told me to correspond with email. I wasn't sure if he was going to remember me or not, and he did. And it's just, I know he's disappointed.
Virgil's got to get the fuck over it,
He'll probably tell Todd Shackelford, who was my direct advisor, that Anna fucking Hummel is back in, and she's trying to get back in. And I know that Todd is mad at me because he tried to reach out to me for fucking years after I left. He's like, Anna, please finish, like begging me, not so much for my sake, which maybe that was like 5%, but it looks terrible on his record if he has a bunch of students. And I don't think I was the only one who do not complete the degree. It looks bad.
Really?
What your advisor doesn't want a bunch of students who, you know, started and then never finished, because it looks like, you know, they don't got their shit together.
If he was a real
if
he was a real professor, he would have encouraged you to chase your dreams, I think, instead of just coming back to the classroom.
Well, that's the thing.
If he really loved you.
I literally evaporated. Like, I took my finals. I passed everything. I had to just do like a... it was this giant final project that I was working on, okay? And I had spent, like, conceivably, like, maybe a couple grand of grant money to do this giant survey on, like... What? I don't even remember what the fuck it was, like female orgasm, fucking mate retention, sperm competition. That's what the guy was into, and that's what I was into at the time, was like mating strategies with an emphasis on like sperm competition and mating retention and shit like that. So I do this giant survey on SurveyMonkey, and I collect all this data. I didn't really even know how to analyze it, what statistical analysis to run. I was so far behind the eight ball because I wasn't really paying attention. I really didn't. I was checked out. I was interning at a fucking radio station, WRAF, in Detroit, Michigan. So I was kind of, that's when I was transitioning actually out of school and into radio. So for 2 years, like, I was in Michigan, fucking bartending, doing shit on the radio, podcasting my ass off, and I have like this advisor like, where the fuck did you go? Like, all you have to do is your final project. And he's like, Anna, just submit like a paper. He was like, you don't even have to do the study. Just do like a final thesis. And I was so embarrassed because I had spent so much grant money that I was like, no. I'll do the big project. And I just fucking never did it. And I didn't do anything. And even when years into me being in Florida, up until about 2019, and again, I left in 2000, and I finished in 2014. He was like, Anna, just fucking finish. Like, you have 1 year, you know, the 6 year mark is coming up. And I just ignored him. And now I'm fucking back.
Well, I mean,
like, your toxic ex.
It really doesn't sound like they're letting you back, to be honest with you. But it seems like,
yeah, but if I can, that's why we need this sob story.
Well, I would get,
I was raped.
I gave you multiple ones that would not involve bad karma. Can I read you a tweet real quick to possibly end the show, because I have to go get blood work?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
From Richard Longwood. You're right. I definitely am a fat piece of shit. That's, I can't believe. You know what? I will keep my opinions to myself on chat about you. You're right. Somebody working doesn't need to see that while they're trying to do their job. I apologize. Truthfully, I do.
Did you just make that up?
I didn't. And I, to be honest with you, I don't think I've ever seen him apologize before. He's a no apology kind of guy, much like Alex Stein.
And I guess he's watching this on Locals.
He's a big fan. Like, he's,
dude, he Richard, I'm fucking speechless. I was not expecting. I feel like I just won the Oscar, and I really don't have a speech planned.
Well, you know what? You had a rough day, and if this day could potentially end with somebody who
day week year, yeah,
yeah, somebody's that's been you saying things about you in chat, and, yeah. You know, you see, and you know, said, you know what? I'll just keep it to myself that I hate her, and I apologize. That's pretty strong.
Now I feel like I need to apologize for being a weak bitch.
No, I think you're...
Listen, Richard, you are free to say what you want to say. Yes, I would see it. Of course, I didn't like looking at it, but I apologize for the horrible things I said about 25 minutes ago about you. So, listen, this is just an apology circle jerk. I feel much better about things.
Good.
And thank you, Richard. You know, I don't want to say the apology was unnecessary because I feel like no one owes me anything in life.
Sure.
But I do appreciate it. Like, what can I say? Have a blessed fucking day, Dick. Richard, I mean.
Hey, listen, we're trying here. We're trying to all be one big family. We're trying not to have a fucking Seth or Anna deal. We're trying not to fucking have all, you know, all this inner turmoil. I mean, this staff is staying here. No one's getting fired, like Bubba said. So, I mean.
We're here to stay.
Yeah.
Two Live Two. Thank you, Seth. I appreciate your time.
God bless.